This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we've got a special show. We got some special guests in the studio with me. They're coming from all over America. At least three of them have come from all over America, California, some other places. And they're at part of a special USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture program that's in town, a special fellowship that is learning about USDA, learning about the government, learning about various programs, about how the government operates. So we're going to get a unique perspective from outside the Beltway today from these people. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and we're going to start off from the mic over here and let you introduce yourself, your name, and then also tell us about what program you're involved in and where you're coming from.
Sure. My name is Dr. Neda Hernandez Santa Maria, and I come from Chicago, from Northeastern Illinois University, and I work in a program called Proyecto Palante. And I primarily work with primarily Latino students who don't necessarily have the requirements to enter the university any other way. Okay. And so what we do is we provide additional support. And I like to think of our program as a support and success program. So this is actually a wonderful opportunity for myself, being a Latina. I feel like I'm a pioneer, and I'm out here bringing back information to my community, my students, my university. So
and the USDA fellowship program is called what?
The Iquica de la Garza program.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, then, so we're going to talk to that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what you're doing in Chicago, but then let's go here.
Okay, well, my name is Dr. Diane Podelsky, and I am the Director of Community University Partnerships at Cal State San Bernardino. And I'm also in charge of a program called Coyote Careers. It's a STEM student success program, and STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And what we do is try to help our students get an advantage to finding their career of choice. We provide academic support for them, career education, and then really the most important part is helping them get real-life work experience through paid internships. A lot of our students are very low income, and they have to work to go to school, and so normally they would not be able to do an internship, but we're able to provide a paid internship in their field of choice, and we found that really has helped them gain employment when they graduate in their career that they want to be in. And so I'm very happy to be here to talk about this program and then also about the fellowship program, which is really brought to my mind all the opportunities for students to do internships here in Washington, D.C., which I was not aware of before.
Outstanding. And then our final.
My name is Marie Bird. I'm from Reedley College in Reedley, California, and I am the STEM grant coordinator. Our program consists of, we focus on four major goals, increasing the number of Hispanic students transferring in STEM fields, increasing the number of Hispanic students majoring in STEM fields, building articulation with our sister campuses, CSUs and UCs, in addition to making sure that we are providing our students the opportunity to increase their success rate in math courses. Our program, we achieve these goals using many different avenues by providing programs such as a math study center that allows the students to come in and get help in various math courses in order to get them a passing grade of an A, B, or C. We offer a STEM ambassadors course, which we have student ambassadors that go out into the community and educate and outreach to students in the K through 12 level to get interested in STEM fields, in addition to doing a lot of renovations on campus in order to make sure that our students are meeting the needs and are equipped with the supplies and equipment that they need in order to transfer to a university.
Outstanding. Now, all three of your programs, you're funded by USDA, right? I mean, so these are grant-run programs or no?
No. Mine is actually institutional.
Okay, it's institutional.
Yeah, at Northeastern,
but
yes.
Do you receive money from the federal government to help do what you're doing?
At the university in general, because we are a Hispanic-serving institution, we are able to tap into certain grants like the Title V grant.
Okay.
And so in that way, the university as a whole does receive some grant funding opportunities.
Okay. And then here in yours?
Yeah, we are funded through Title V, okay. Which is from the U.S. Department of Education. But since our grant will be running out at the end of this next year, we've instituted a new student fee where students will be paying a small amount of money, but collectively it's enough for students to still receive these services through those fee dollars. So okay. We're going to be able to sustain our program.
And in Fresno, you guys?
And at Reedley College,
okay.
which is 30 miles south of Fresno.
Okay.
So we are funded through the Department of Ed through a STEM grant.
Okay. So with all of this, I mean, tell me about this program. I mean, how you got involved. I mean, I hear it's like mm-hmm. an elite program, like the best of the best.
That would be us.
Some hype there.
Yeah. Well,
I hear that this is a very select program. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, only 20 mm-hmm. people were chosen from all over the nation to come up. A very, very competitive program. Talk to us about what's the purpose of the program? What are you learning, from USDA about USDA's various programs and also the whole federal government?
Well, the Iquique de la Garza Fellowship, it's a program that
I wish I could say that. I can't get that out. Go ahead, though.
What the program has done is it's provided us the opportunity to actually come from our respective universities out here to D.C. and take part in learning about all the different agencies within the USDA and what those agencies have to offer us, and for us to take that information, you know, back to our respective universities, to our community, to our students, and basically, you know, show them everything that the USDA has to offer as far as internships and career pathways and grants, multiple funding opportunities.
So many resources, right?
And I think I really want to applaud USDA for taking this step. It isn't every agency in the federal government that really does this extra level of outreach to Hispanic-serving institutions. And they're really demonstrating their commitment to diversifying the workforce in USDA and then also throughout the federal government. We have an opportunity to speak with a variety of agencies in the federal government while we're here. And it's really opened our eyes to opportunities throughout that normally being from institutions where we're just trying to keep everything together with budget cuts. And it's been really some really hard years for us. We would never be able to afford this opportunity to send one of us to Washington, D.C. for 3 weeks and put us in a hotel and pay us for food and provide all these meetings for us that really have opened our eyes to opportunities. So we're really all very thankful for this opportunity to be here.
And Anita, you were saying too.
Well, I was saying that just my experience with the fellowship, it's remarkable in that I'm walking away having a new appreciation, first of all, for the dynamics of government in general, how decisions are being made, what are the qualities that, you know, hiring agents are looking for my students. And so I feel like I'm going to go back very equipped to serve my students and my community. So for that, I'm very grateful. And, you know, I think I relate on a personal level also to the program. As I said, as a Latina, as a first-generation college student, many of the students that we serve are first-generation college students. I feel like I'm wide-eyed. You know, everywhere I go, everything looks new to me. This is only my second trip here to D.C., and this is giving me an opportunity that I know I wouldn't have had otherwise. And so I feel, you know, a tremendous responsibility, and I'm humbled at the blessing that I've had through this program. So,
you know, USDA is when you start really kind of going beyond the actual name and start bearing down into the layers of USDA, mm-hmm. it's a very expansive organization. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think you're probably learning that right now. What's probably one of the most interesting things that you have learned in terms of, you know, the sub layers of USDA?
I think food. I'm sorry, I just jumped in here.
food.
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm always talking about food and I love food. But to understand food and the importance that it has in our nation, in our economy, I was having a conversation with my husband and I was like, oh my God, do you realize how important our crops are? You know, I kind of take it for granted being from the city. You know, you go to the grocery store and you buy your corn and there it is. You know, I never thought about it any any further. So the appreciation that I have now for the scientists, the science that's behind it, the people, the energy, I'm just, you know.
So when you learned about the Agriculture Research Service and all the other kind of services and how much they're doing in terms yes. of, you know, examining or researching new crops or new things, yes. that's what you're starting to get.
Yes, yes. And the impact that it has on our economy just overall.
Diane, what are you taking away from it?
Well, I think one of the things that I don't really think about very much is, like you were saying, the science behind what we do and how mm-hmm. the science that the USDA is the scientists and the experiments that we're working on not only impact the United States, but also internationally, mm-hmm. where they're sending people all over the globe to help them either with their agricultural crops or help them with pests that they've encountered or helping them ship foods here. We're shipping foods there. I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of work that goes into that I had absolutely no idea about.
Sure. Marie, what are you taking from it?
And again, the same going off of what Nita and Diane said. I mean, the USDA, they provide so much research and resources to the community at hand that it's just phenomenal. And one thing that was really interesting to me is all the partnerships and collaborations that they have with numerous other agencies and departments and so forth, and having those partnerships and collaboration kind of allows them to expand on a broader aspect with, you know, everything that they're dealing with and having to inform the community and so forth.
So now we have some new advocates.
Yes.
Who are now going to be able to preach the message
yes.
from the USDA and take
we
it back to their
put,
home.
We can put, you know, Marie, comma, USDA. USDA, NIDA,
right,
comma,
right.
USDA.
So we're going to see some name changes?
Absolutely.
We're going to keep on talking about this special USDA fellowship when we come back. We're talking to three special guests. I'm not going to give their whole titles, but we have Anita, Diane, and Marie in the studio with us. They come from various parts of the country, Chicago, California, from various universities. They're part of a USDA special program, as part of a special fellowship that's in town for 3 weeks, learning about the USDA, learning about the federal government. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time, but the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
With all the D.C. area traffic, our many bridges get lots of wear and tear. A material commonly used in the aerospace industry might soon be used to keep bridges safe. Cracks in steel bridges are usually drilled out and new metal attached, but Ron Barrett Gonzalez, an aerospace engineering professor at the University of Kansas, says that can sometimes cause damage and suggests spraying in plastic material instead.
many of these composite structures often have stiffnesses and strengths that are significantly greater than the steel.
And if the composite becomes damaged or worn, it's engineered to literally bleed red dye.
The bridge itself would scream out and say, hey, this component is not good.
Such materials might even be used from the start in areas engineers know will get high stress. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Plan now to attend Affirm's July 12th scholarship fundraiser and sample wine and food pairings from South American vineyards under the skylights of the Carnegie Institution for Science Rotunda in Washington, D.C. A silent auction will benefit Affirm's college scholarship endowments for technology students across the country. Bid on an array of unique items from a weekend in Las Vegas, a group wine dinner at the Capitol Grill, golf lessons, and dinner with Helen Thomas. Join the festivities on Tuesday, July 12th at 5:30 p.m. Register today at Affirm.org.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I have just been corrected about something. We are talking about the USDA fellowship that is in town right now. They're coming from all different schools around the country. We may talk about where your colleagues are coming from, since you guys come from Illinois and then California, but maybe somewhere your colleagues are coming from. But one of our special guests, she just corrected me that I was saying her name the wrong way. I was saying Anita. And it's actual Nada.
Yes.
Is it right?
Nada.
And it's Dr. Nada.
Yes.
Doctor, and give us a whole name so I can have it completely.
Sure. It's Dr. Nada Hernandez Santa Maria.
Outstanding. So we can make sure we have that on the record. I apologize
for
saying that.
No, not a problem.
I hate when my name gets messed up as well.
I appreciate it.
We were talking about what you guys are learning about USDA, and I think, you know, you mentioned about the heavy research and the science that goes into agriculture and everything else. Is there any other aspect that you're surprised of that USDA is doing that you say, hey, listen, I had no clue, whether it be the economics or whatever the case is? Yeah, sure.
Diane. So one thing that I really was surprised about was how much USDA has invested in the broadband access that rural areas have in the United States, and millions of dollars that they've lent to rural communities so that people have connection to the internet. And what was really surprising to me is that we need that program. I guess I living in the metropolitan area, I don't even take for granted that I can connect to the internet at any time. But that there are so many areas of the United States that are still in need of that service, that that's an ongoing project for USDA to try to connect everyone through the internet and to have communities have all the resources that come through the internet available to the residents in that area.
So what you're saying is that you have found out about a program that USDA is funding in terms of putting money on the ground in order to say, listen, we need to bring these broadband capabilities into rural farm communities who did not have this before.
That's exactly right.
Wow, wow, wow. Anyone else learn anything interesting?
This is two things, actually. One thing that I was surprised about is the insurance programs for farmers for crops, when you know something happens and maybe their yields aren't where they were what they were expecting, or something actually happens to their crops, there's an insurance that they're insured against that loss. So that surprised me.
So if it's drought or if it's rain or anything like that, and they lose a whole bunch of crops, they can tap into some money resources.
Exactly, to support, you know, not only themselves but I guess our nation. But something that's a little, I guess, less I don't know, academic, but that I was fascinated by was the fact that they can tell from satellite images what crops are growing where. Like they can differentiate wheat from corn and soy from corn, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, you know, right. So just from satellite images, and what stage of growth the plants are in, the crops are in. So that, I was like, wow, that's just Amazing, fascinating.
And were they able to tell if you're like growing some tomatoes behind your house?
You know, they probably could. They probably could. I wouldn't be surprised. They're always watching.
Always watching.
Yeah.
But you found out the vast resources that the federal government has to tap into. And they're doing satellite imagery.
Exactly.
And everything else to determine. Yeah. And it's not only just for are kind of the dynamics of feeding the population, but it's also food security.
Yes.
A kind of national security imperative. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. Marie, what did you get out of this?
In addition to the resources that USDA is providing, for me, I was surprised to find out how many opportunities that they're actually providing for our students as it relates to internships and creating pathways for our students to actually experience working at the DC level and kind of going into different fields.
And what's happening is that they have all these different internship programs that you never even knew with all these various agencies that you can kind of tap into, whether it be undergrad programs, high school programs, or graduate students. Is that what you were finding out?
Exactly. And they're paid.
Oh.
And just how well prepared the interns come out. For instance, when we first arrived, we were introducing ourselves and we had the opportunity to meet four young high school interns who, you know, introduced themselves and the projects they were working on, scientific projects, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wow, they must have been working like all summer on this. And they had just begun two weeks into it. And
they were blown away.
They were young scientists, young men. Amazing. So that, I mean, that was something that was
great. And I'm happy to say they're from my area, Selma, Parlier, and Reedley. Yes.
Outstanding. You know, with this program and as we kind of think about the whole dynamics of the nation, we're hearing about this budget crisis that the federal government is going into, and we're hearing about this kind of special program. And some people may think that, you know, this is extra money that's being spent. You know, this is just something that, you know, the federal government is already too overbloated. It's too much money being spent on unnecessary things. But from what I'm hearing from you is that this program that you're, you know, in right now and the monies that you're receiving back at home from Title V and other things, this money is important in terms of really helping the people, you know, really get an understanding of what's going on. Is that right?
I agree. And I think what's really important, two things. First, spending a little bit of money on us as educators now, if you multiply across all the students that we're going to impact and interact with in our entire academic careers, that's money well spent. I mean, that's less than a penny per student that you're spending to sort of have this message go out to them. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, I think that there's nothing more important than diversifying the federal workforce. Because I really feel that even as a taxpayer, I want to see a federal government that represents the community that I'm from. And so I think the only way we're going to be able to do that is to extend the hand of universities and the government as far down as we can, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, and certainly at the higher education, to show people here are opportunities for you that you may not have considered before, but they're viable employment opportunities. They're in your field of interest, and you too can be a public servant and contribute throughout your career to helping this nation become a better place. And so I think that, how could you say that's not money well spent?
Sure. Marie?
Yeah, and just mentioning about diversifying the workforce and the jobs in the government level, one thing that we forgot to mention is that we were all selected based off of a numerous criteria, but we are all HSI schools, Hispanic Serving Institutions.
Okay.
So we are, Reedley College is 60% HSI.
So this is very a targeted program, very much so targeted in terms of diversity. You know, I mean, and you guys are not federal workers and everything. I mean, I know you're being funded by this, but I mean, I want an honest answer. When you came up to D.C., you know, in terms of your impressions, were you surprised about either the lack of diversity or were you surprised about that there was more diversity in some of these agencies than you thought of?
For me, I think I was surprised at the lack of, but I was pleasantly surprised at how the USDA through the HSNIP, I forget what it stands for.
National Program.
Thank you.
Right.
How everyone there is diverse, and I think they really are mission driven. They really, I think, hold that in their hearts. And everyone here is working. They're not working 9 to 5. These people are not working 9 to 5. They're working way longer hours. And so
the myth of the government worker kind of going in and coming, you know, working for and then leaving at 3:30 or 4:30, I mean, that's a misconception that a lot of people
definitely
have about the government worker.
That is exactly
what
you think
by seeing it on the ground.
They're not. They're working. Our regional directors are, for instance, they're doing work here right now with us, but at 5 o'clock, they have to continue doing the work of outreach at their respective regional areas in wherever they're located. For instance, mine is located, my regional director happens to be located at my university, but he has to be online and you know, making connections and sending out information and doing whatever else he usually does. So this experience is in addition to what he already does.
Sure. What else have you seen, I mean, in terms of the government workers?
Well, I really think that I was surprised. I thought it would be more diverse than it is. And I think what I take away from this experience is that there are a lot of people who are very concerned about that lack of diversity. And it's not like we don't know what's happening and we're doing everything we can to change how things are. But I think there's still more work to be done.
Do you think, and kind of maybe Marie, you can start off with this, do you think that is because of a lack of knowledge? And you know, maybe in Hispanic communities, Latinos, or any communities, do you think it's the lack of knowledge of saying that the federal government is a viable opportunity or these opportunities exist? But, you know, that's where the lack of diversity comes from. Is that one of the problems?
You know, while specifically in my community, a lot of the issues that we run into with our Hispanic students is we're trying to get them into ag-related careers and ag-related fields, but it's hard considering that they're first generation and they come from farm working families. You know, so for us to tell their parents, we want your child to major in an ag-related field, they're like, no, we've been in the field all these years. Why do we want to turn around and send our student to school to put them back in the field? But it's the lack of knowledge that the parents have, you know, and not understanding all the different career paths that they could take in ag and any other industry.
I want to hold you right there because I think you bring up a very, very important point that I want to go into the next segment about, you know, kind of changing the mindset. Changing the paradigm, changing the thought patterns of people who say, well, listen, this is first generation, but you need to go back into the farm. You can't necessarily go to Washington, D.C. and work on this program. You can't leave home, and maybe kind of changing that mindset. I want to also talk about what your experiences are on the ground, you know, because we don't really hear about that as much. We hear about things in terms of the money going places, but you're starting to see the money either actually working or not working. I want to talk about that. We're talking about this USDA special fellowship that's going on right now. Tell me the name one more time.
Y Kika de la Garza.
Outstanding. I wish I could say that again. But we're talking about this special fellowship that's going on. They're in town from all over the country, from in Washington, D.C., learning about USDA and learning about the federal government. We'll be talking more about it on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch after this break.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog who can only say, I love you. Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest will be Stuart Ritter, financial planner and T. Rowe Price's Financial Planning Services Group. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
It's the only program of its kind in the world. A unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, defense industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. All without the career interruption of a traditional degree. Learn more at som.gmu.edu/defense. That's som.gmu.edu/defense. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is July 15th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University, helping our country's defense, advancing your career.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Experts advise that knowing the health history of your family is important because it gives you and your healthcare team important information about your risk for developing a number of serious diseases.
You don't have to know a lot about health to share this important information with your family.
Dr. Griffin Rogers is an institute director at the National Institutes of Health. He says a family reunion is an opportunity to gather important health information.
And while the family is together, it's also a great time to talk about family health.
For more tips on getting a family health history, visit www.niddk.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been having a very, very interesting conversation about this special USDA fellowship that is in town. It's a fellowship focused in on Hispanic students, on the people who represent the Hispanic students and Hispanic populations at their universities and colleges and community colleges all around the nation. They're here in town for about 2 to 3 weeks, learning about USDA, learning about the federal government, learning about all the programs and the agencies that the federal government has to offer, and learning about how the government can also spy on top of your crops and see what you're growing. So, but they're learning about all these great things. I'm gonna have them introduce themselves one more time, because if you missed it in the first couple of segments, I want them to introduce themselves again and let us know where they're from. And I also want to talk about, and one of you guys can kick off, about, you know, changing the mindset. What are you seeing on the ground? What are some of the challenges that you are having as it relates to dealing with maybe first generation students who are now just going to college and now just thinking about becoming something different than a farmer or anything else? I'm gonna have them start over here with Nada.
I am Dr. Nada Hernandez Santa Maria from Northeastern Illinois University, and I work in a program called Proyecto Palante. And in order, I guess, to address your question, one of the challenges that I see with my students is that, and I say this often, and I'll say it in Spanish, imagínate, imagine.
And that means, imagine.
And that's the challenge. What you don't know, you don't know. How can you even begin to dream about it? What can you, you can't even conceive that there are careers out there that have something to do, for instance, with farming, that are maybe scientific, and you need to be a professional and learn and go to, you know, undergrad school and graduate school. What you don't know, you don't know. And so I say that this is an opportunity where I'm being exposed to all of these other careers and programs and opportunities to develop our students into leaders, because I see them from day one as emerging leaders. These young people are emerging leaders that, again, that is the biggest challenge. How can they begin to imagine? And I think through this, I'm going to be able to start helping them imagine, because I couldn't imagine until I came here. Right. So now I'm going to go back and say, hey, guess what? You know, you can do this and you can do that. And imagine, imagínate. And it's just amazing.
I'm going to have to memorize that word so I can say imagine as well. Introduce yourself one more time and then tell us what you're experiencing.
Sure. So I'm Dr. Diane Podolsky, and I am from Cal State San Bernardino. And one of the things, actually two things, but the first one is that I think with first-generation students, they know the careers that either someone in their family might have or the careers that are on TV. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner at all, but if a student's going into science or biology, they know about being a doctor, they've watched Grey's Anatomy, or they watched a CSI, right. And so those are the careers that they think they want to go into. And I think they're not aware of the breadth of opportunities that are available for them. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing that we're especially countering now is that students who may have that dream of going on and getting their college degree, they know people who have gotten their degree and they don't have a job. Mm. And so it's hard to get them to even start.
So they don't see the reason for the investment.
Right,
they don't see the reason anymore.
Sometimes people who have had a very difficult life financially want to spend their money very wisely, and they want to see that return on investment right away. And they probably know of someone who went to college who is now looking for a job and really struggling. And so they wonder, why would I want to do that or have my child do that? And I think that's a difficult conversation to have, to say, on faith, you need to believe me that this will pay off in the end. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that education is the one thing that they can't take away from you. And that's very true, but people want real proof. And that's a struggle that we have right now in higher education.
But the beauty of it is that you guys are learning about some special programs that, rather than just saying, hey, listen, come to school and just get your degree, it's saying, come to school, get an internship, come into the USDA, learn about these different things. And then this is a door opener for you. So when you do have your degree, it's automatically, you're going to maybe working for the government or working for some organization.
Something concrete.
That's right.
Sure. You're right.
Marie Bird from Reilly College in Reilly, California. I share a lot of the same challenges that Nathan and Diane are currently, you know, experiencing with their communities. But in addition to that, another challenge has been accessing the parents. And because they're first generation students, you know, the parents as well aren't as knowledgeable about the types of programs and the pathways that their children could take as far as going to school and going to college and so forth. So that's been one of our major challenges, is really reaching out to the parents, getting the parents involved, bringing the parents on campus, you know, to show them, this is what your son or daughter could participate in, and this is where it will lead to.
You know, given the fact that a lot of your programs are funded, you know, through Title V or have some support through Title V, even if it's institutional, and a lot of you just mentioned that the grants are running out, mm-hmm. that, you know, either next year, this year, or the money's starting to dry up. Mm-hmm. What's the impact? Because, I mean, from what I'm hearing is that you guys are doing some good work on the ground. And you can tell me if you're seeing results. But what's the impact if we lose programs like this that's targeting the Hispanic? I already see hands going up automatically. But what is that impact?
Sure. So I'm Diane again. And one of the impacts that I'm seeing with our program is that the students who do an internship, 25% of them receive employment offers immediately following their internship. And that's really significant in our area because we have a 14% unemployment rate in our area. Mm-hmm. And so many, many students aren't receiving any jobs because they don't have that real life work experience. When you close the door on those opportunities, then those employment, you know, opportunities go away for the students. And what we unfortunately end up seeing then is we have a very good biology student who's the cashier at JCPenney's. Nothing wrong with that, except they're not using their degree to, you know, really have the career that they had planned on. It's frustrating. If I just have a little bit of money, I can make a huge impact, and this person will be on a career trajectory for the rest of their life. But if we don't intervene at the right moment, we lose that opportunity, and then the opportunity is lost forever.
And are you experiencing you know, that these students, and maybe this goes to the immigration issue as well. I mean, are a lot of first generation, are they son or daughters of immigrants as well, who are kind of concerned about possibly leaving home, or there's other reasons that's going on? And is your program addressing that? And if we lost the program, are we going to lose a whole generation of, you know, Hispanics who will now just kind of stay where they are?
I think you said it perfectly, where using my experience as an example, this has been, I didn't go away to college. I went I'm a Northeastern Illinois University alumna. So I went to the university. I lived three blocks away. So at that time, I never even thought of going away to college, right? So now this is, as I was saying, this is only the second time that I've gone anywhere away from my family. Sure. To go learn something other than my doctoral degree, right? I think that I can go back and have those one-on-one conversations with my students or in my classroom with my students and say, you know, hey, I did it. It's possible. I didn't leave my family. I'm still there. I'm supporting my family, my mom, my dad, because when I talk about family, I'm not talking about just, you know, my husband and my daughter. I'm talking about my mother, my father, my sisters. That's my family. And then I know our students, we're talking about maybe the tías, the tíos, the primos, the abuelos, you know, all that, everybody. The aunts and uncles and all of them. So it's not that you're abandoning them. It's an opportunity for you to go grow and then come back and hopefully help your family
and be an inspiration to your younger members of your family.
Exactly.
and the rest of the
exactly.
culture.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sure. Marie, what do you think about the possible loss of these programs?
The loss of funding would, for any program, would just be tremendous. I mean, for my campus specifically, I'll give one example. We have a math study center. In order to renovate this math study center, we relied on government funding from the U.S. Department of Ed. And from the math study center right now, we provide tutoring to students that need help in any math courses. We have math tutors in addition to our math faculty on campus that come directly help, and they're able to help the students with all their math needs and so forth. Right now, we have a 76% success rate. And that's of students receiving an A, B, or C. Now, we're a two-year community college, and why that's so important to us is because students need to be in the transfer-level math course in order to transfer to a university of their choice. So without these fundings, I mean, we lose students. We lose students. The students have the potential of not to receive a passing grade, therefore stopping them from transferring to their respective university of their choice.
So basically what you end up having is a high dropout rate, which is and people are not going on to get four-year degrees, and maybe not going on to be that scientist, or not going on to be that ambassador, that diplomat, mm-hmm. or whoever mm-hmm. they could possibly be, either come into your culture or come into your areas or wherever around the world. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, that's really right.
Awesome. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to go into, we got the last piece going into, I want to hear a little bit more about some of the challenges that you're experiencing on the ground. I also want to hear about what happens next when you go home. You know, what are you going to honestly take back? What are you going to implement when you go home? Because you're getting all this good information from D.C. What's going to be the next steps for you in terms of bringing that great knowledge in and putting into the minds of the young people at home, and then kind of embedding that fruit so it can grow and then go from there. So we'll talk about that on the next segment. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio. We're talking about this USDA special fellowship. And tell me the name one more time.
Iquica de la Garza.
I'm going to get it before we leave. I'm going to say it correctly before we leave. But we're talking about this special USDA fellowship. We'll hear a little bit more about it after we take this quick break.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Here's Brian McGrath, CIO, Census Bureau, on the virtualization What Federal Managers Need to Know panel, sponsored by Microsoft and Citrix.
I see us in 3 to 5 years having 70 to 80% of our compute resources virtualized. I see us having a desktop environment that is completely virtualized and allows us to provide those services anywhere, any place, anywhere.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The benefits of virtualization are clear. Use less energy, generate less heat, take up less space. But before making the leap, make sure you're leveraging your existing Microsoft investment. You may already own key virtualization products like Remote Desktop Services, System Center, and Windows Server 2008 R2 with Hyper-V. These products put you well on your way to a well-managed, virtualized application, desktop, and server environment, moving toward the cloud. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/govcloud.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
What is the mission of the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Financial Management Service? How is FMS streamlining and modernizing its core payment collections and reporting functions? And what is it doing better to manage its resources and execute its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with David Liebrich, Commissioner of the Financial Management Service. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagenics.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Plan now to attend Affirm's July 12th scholarship fundraiser and sample wine and food pairings from South American vineyards under the skylights of the Carnegie Institution for Science Rotunda in Washington, D.C. A silent auction will benefit Affirm's college scholarship endowments for technology students across the country. Bid on an array of unique items from a weekend in Las Vegas, a group wine dinner at the Capitol Grill, golf lessons, and dinner with Helen Thomas. Join the festivities on Tuesday, July 12th at 5:30 p.m. Register today at Affirm.org.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, weekday morning 6 to 10.
Sonny Bagwalia is leaving his post at GSA to become Hawaii's first full-time CIO.
I listen to you guys every day on my drive-in, by the way, which I'll miss that D.C. commute, but it's always good to listen to and get some knowledge when you're looking at it. And we're solving the same kind of issues. I think the same things will happen in Hawaii.
You'll be 6 hours behind us, but you can listen online.
I will still do that.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. If you missed the first couple segments, you need to go back and listen and make sure that you hear about what's going on. This is a special USDA fellowship that is in town. There's about 20 of you, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
20
yes.
Fellows that are in town from all over the country who are learning about USDA. They come from various community colleges and universities around our nation. They focus in on Hispanic students, and they're helping them with the STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and math, and other programs to prepare them prepare them to go into all of these different kind of careers, and also to imagine and imagine a better future for themselves and their communities. We're talking about that right now. I'm going to have our guests introduce themselves one last time and where they're from so they can show some pride in their schools, and then go from there. Talk to
Dr. Neda Hernandez Santa Maria from Northeastern Illinois University in Proyecto Palante.
Outstanding.
And I'm Dr. Diane Podolsky, and I'm from Cal State San Bernardino.
Marie Bird with Reedley College in Reedley, California. Go Tigers!
All right. You know, you're getting a lot of information, everything from the Agricultural Research Service, from the Foreign Agriculture Service, from, you know, the economic side of agriculture. You're getting all these different briefings on USDA and what's going on. You know, as you think about things, and you think about the challenges that when you go back home, what's going to be maybe one of the first things you do to take the knowledge that you have received here and now put it into the minds of the students?
Well, I think for me, I've been actually thinking about this a lot in the program that I work in. I teach basically like a college success course. And one of the challenges that I had, and not only advising students, but in the course, was I wanted to be better prepared to help them with their career planning. And I kind of felt like I was at a loss. I wanted to be able to give more, but I just didn't know what more I could give. I guess part of that was with that whole exposure. Now I know a lot more. And so I think one of my first things that I want to do is we're working on the curriculum for our courses, and I want to make sure that I include the USDA and all the possibilities. Whether that's going to take a week or two, I don't know. But I mean, that has to go on my syllabus. My students are going to know about the USDA, all of their opportunities, and other federal agencies and departments, and how to get there, because it's not just here it is. Let me help you put the pieces together, right, so that you can get there. So I'm going to do that, and I'm going to also use one of our tools that one of our fellowship advisors shared with us, which is an e-portfolio, helping our students from the day they step ground on my campus start developing themselves as professionals and collecting their, I guess, documents and their evidence showing that they've grown intellectually, socially, psychologically.
Sure. So being able to sell themselves the right way.
Exactly.
And speak about what they have learned through the various programs that you're providing for them.
Exactly.
Diane, what are you going to?
Well, one thing that I know, I'm one woman, I'm a good woman, but I'm just one woman. So my first goal is to go back.
So you're
going to
clone yourself.
That's right.
Some of the USDA technology.
USDA. That's right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and start setting up meetings with other professionals on campus. This is information that's too good to keep to myself. And as much as I'm going to share it myself, I want other people on campus who touch different students, who talk to students in different ways, that they can also start sharing that information. So I've already started creating sort of this little guidebook to USDA that of all the materials I've collected. I'm going to get that reproduced and then start having meetings with people on campus to talk about internship opportunities for sure. And then also career opportunities and looking at some grants that they're offering to see if there's other things that we as a university could do to take advantage of USDA resources in order to make our more opportunities for our students.
Marie.
Well, Diane took the words right out of my mouth. I guess that's what I get for sitting at the end. but again, as soon as I get back on campus, I definitely want to share all of the information that I've received from the USDA and other agencies that we have met with. I think it's very critical that I connect with certain professionals on campus, dean, president, colleagues, just everyone on campus, talk to them about what may be of value to them, and then start creating programs or implementing anything that we need to do in order to better prepare our students.
Special USDA fellowship that's going on right now, goes on every year, provides a lot of access to information, a lot of access to opportunities that's coming out through the USDA, whether it be internships, employment, grants, and other things that's coming out of USDA. A lot of good stuff going on. We want to thank you guys for coming on Fed Access. We hope you're the best. We wish you the best while you're up here, and we want to hear back from you later on, maybe throughout the year, about what's going on after you get back into your respective schools. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.